Accession number 31427, Mr. Albert Clark, Real 5. Now, what about the offer? We're talking about your time, you know, at with the 1st Battalion Essex Regiment at Mearney Barracks at Colchester.
Yeah.
What about the officers? How did you get on with them? Did you see much of them? What were they like? What impression did they make on you?
Yeah, well, they were, obviously in charge, and by getting on with them all right, very, very well.
What did you think of them? Do you think they were good, that they knew their stuff?
Well, at that time, they were, a lot of them was quite young, led pretty well, got us when we was on training. We'd obviously done the extra parade with them,
Now, what about recreation? When you weren't actually doing it, I mean, I understand you're doing a lot of this stuff, but what about when you weren't? Do you remember, what you do? I mean, what about the canteen, things like that?
Yeah, we used to fall out after we finished our blankoing up and cleaning our equipment and tidying up, and mostly in the evening times, we went down to the naffy, all got together and talking amongst yourselves, and at that time had a couple of beers,
It was a
wet
canteen.
We used to be able to get a beer there.
And what was it like in there? I mean, what was the foyer? I mean, were there games and things like darts?
There was, if I can remember rightly, we used to have a games room, one section, if I remember, had snooker and so forth like that, darts there was.
Any music or anything like that in there? No, piano wouldn't be a jukebox.
No, not really. Not very, as far as I can remember, not music,
Did you have, what would you do? Would you go out into Colchester much?
Colchester, yeah. We used to go down to, three or four of us all get together, and never on my own. Used to go down to Colchester and the usual thing, hang around, and we did used to go into not a pub crawl as such, but we used to go into various pubs, and meet the local girls as usual.
How'd you get on with the locals? It can be a bit edgy at times in garrison towns.
Yeah, what we see was they was all right, no sort of aggro, no trouble, and we used to have back over Abbey Fields. We used to have a really big naffy club, That is where the music was and all the games room and so forth, within walking distance of Mearney Barracks,
Hey, how did your training finish? How were you assessed?
What do you mean, the fitness and so forth?
Yeah, when you stopped being a recruit and became a soldier.
Oh, well, by that time we was taking up really sort of smart parades, as it was. We used to have RSM's parade pretty well every week.
What were they like, RSM's parade?
Oh, really, really strict, Really, really... spent quite a lot of time square bashing, pretty well every day. But the really RSM parade was at the end of the week, particularly on a Saturday morning. And I think about once a month we used to get the CO's parade. That's an extra parade on top. And then from then on we just got prepared for that, and it was all the super duper fixed bayonets, and done the big major march down through Colchester with all the band playing, and it was fantastic. And we was told, or I was told, that it was honour of the town, And then we went down to the railway station, marched all the way from Milner Barracks through the town down to Colchester Station, and then we then got on a train down to Harwich, and from Harwich over to the Hook of Holland, and then on to Minden in Germany.
Now, when was that? So you were there. You joined them in the 10th of October 50th.
5th of October, yeah.
So when did you go to Minden?
That was, as far as I can tell you, we had Christmas here. February or March, I forget. I mean, it's after Christmas, like, you know. February or March,
51.
Somewhere.
And you were going to Minden, so... Now, what was the setup at Minden? What were the barracks like there? Do you know the name of them?
Beautiful. There was Elizabeth Barracks. Elizabeth Barracks, Minden. That's right.
And what were they like?
Absolutely beautiful. Ex-SS barracks, you know.
And what was... Were they better than British barracks? What was good about them?
Only four to a room. By that time, all the showers and the latrines was brilliant, like, you know. The barracks itself was very, very clean and modern, smart, if you know what I mean. The doors and the windows was all sort of typical German, very, very good, spacious. That's about it, you know. And outside the parade ground was absolutely huge to our standard. Was they really big, you know?
Now, what was it? You weren't under training now, I presume. No.
Well, we then went on to you're always training 6 weeks of basic training and 10 weeks continuation training. And we was in the period of continuation.
Now, what's continuation training? I mean, it means more of the same, really.
Yeah, but a bit more to what you're going to get channeled in to do. Like, you know, basically it was schemes. By that time, we was picked out for various things. People went into radio. Other people went in for rifle section. And I was put in the MT section.
And what has?
MT driver. 1500 weight Jeeps, 1500 weight. And also I handled the 3-ton QL Bedford.
When did you learn to drive?
I learned to drive at the proper Carter School in Colchester.
Right, let's go back to that then and tell me about learning to drive.
Yeah. We... went and was taken on a ex-American local there, ex-American airfield, which was, as you know, they're really massive, around the Perry tracks and the runways. We was taken there and we never just sort of got into the lorries and blasted along. We had to lay under the lorry and we was taught all the... mechanism of it there, that's the engine, and the engine goes into the gearbox and the gearbox down to the prop shaft, and the prop shaft goes into the half shafts, all the driving part of it, power.
And did you take to it? I mean, double declutching still then,
there was nothing automatic. Yeah, double the clutch and all that. I actually took to it because it was in my era, driving, when I used to be first learned to drive an old lorry without no brakes there, when I was 14, at the sand quarries, you see. I wasn't working, but we used to, you know, just used to help, you know. It was my era. I liked
that.
I actually took to it.
And did they teach you anything other than the lorry at Colchester, or was it just lorry driving? Was it Jeeps and Bren gun carriers?
Well, no, only support company. By this time, you was all reeled off. Support company had Bren gun carriers. We never had the Windsor carriers then.
So So you didn't learn on that at college?
No, not brain gun carrier.
So you'd learned to drive. So now you were putting MTC. Oh, had you
wheeled vehicles. Maintenance, yeah.
Now tell me about maintenance.
Oh, well, we had to not touch the mechanism, the oils or anything like that. But cleanliness, we just had to keep cleaning. And then you'd go out over various places in Colchester and get all muddied up, the lorries, and then Friday Woods and Abbey Fields, and then when we come back, then you had to go to the MT Park section and wash down, and then that goes on and goes on, and then what used to go your vehicle, you had to get ready for what they called a 406 inspection, which is next door to the Remy inspection, local LAD.
So what would you check at a 406?
406, cleanliness, make sure that you'd remove the plugs and clean the plugs of the petrol engines, different things, just general tidiness, making sure that your tilt is all tied up and all buckled up.
What's that?
The tilts, you know.
What's that? No.
The canvas tops and the flaps that come down and cover the back, making sure that your tailboard, what you drop down when on putting them up, make sure that the pins was in safely, and also checking tyre pressures, and it went all through like that, you know.
So you've done that training now.
Yeah.
You were sent to the MT section. Now, which company is that? Headquarters company.
HQ. Yeah.
And what type of lorry were you driving?
When
you went to HQ. So.
When I went to HQ, I was driving a 1500 weight Bedford.
Now that's an old warhorse. Tell us a bit about the Bedford. Why was it? What did you think of it?
Well, as I say, when I was there in that time, in the 50s, I didn't know. I'd seen other vehicles, even older than that. But our vehicles was 3-tonne QL Bedford. Then we came down to the 1500 weight Bedford. Then we got Willys. There was only a couple of Willys Jeeps.
Well, let's take them in turn then. What about the 3-ton QL Bedford? What was that like?
Very good warhorse, very good workhorse, rather, I meant to say.
What was good about it?
Removability. It wasn't too over big. It done pretty well everything, stores and so forth.
Reliable?
Really reliable.
What about the 1500 weight? What was that like? Same?
Yeah, same, basically the same thing.
But smaller.
When you got detailed off, you got like basically the stores and water container. I used to tow a water container plus another trailer on the back with petrol, 40.
That was with the
3-tonner
or the
1500 weight.
So it's a good strong.
Yeah. Oh, it's it was what we had was good.
And what about the Willys Jeep? Tell us a bit about the Jeeps, because the Jeeps are famous, but yeah, not about much, you know.
Willys Jeeps, what we see, was really good. Mostly all ORs, other ranks and officers used to have those, you know.
What was good about them?
Well, everything. They was really fast. Maneuverability, you know, like climbing over. And we used to go a lot back in Germany, like in training areas there. We used to try and bed them in wheels for all four. And you just put four-wheel drive and then they used to drive out. Right out of the, you know.
What did you use them for?
there again, the Willys Jeep used to have one little box trailer on the back, and it was always full of various types of different kit, you know, whatever they carried, you know. Donate, you know, that's the telephone wires. They used to call it Donate. The signalmen used to have all their gear, you know, on. Invariably, when they used to put their gear on, you never had much room in there for your own stuff. But, yeah. But, of course, I wasn't on Jeeps. My basically size was 1500 weight.
So what was the composition of your MT section? Who was in it? What size was it?
What?
Who was in it? You know, I mean, how many officers, NCOs?
Well, we had, obviously, driving, you know, half a dozen 1500 weights, and so that's the amount, and QL Bedford, and the three tanners, various other little thing, bits and pieces they had there, like a couple of Jeeps and that. And then you went on, you always had a MT sergeant. Right? MT sergeant. And you had two or three lance corporals, one stripers, and four corporals. Corporal Stone that time. Was Corporal Stone. He then got made up when he got a career, Sergeant Stone. He was Lieutenant Smythe, was our MT officer. I can't quite remember lots of the sergeant majors. I know RSM Ben Higgs was the name of our RSM.
Ben Higgs.
RSM Ben Higgs, yeah. That was our RSM.
What was a typical day like in Germany at Minden
then? Minden? Right. You'd turn two, I think it was about 6 to 6:30 a.m. Right, you then wash, shave, and ablutions, they call it. After ablutions, you immediately go down to the cookhouse, which was any time from when you was ready till, you know, about half 7-8 o'clock time. Have your food. There again was typical army breakfast. Sometimes you used to have kippers, bacon, sausage, fried egg, tomatoes, you know, the usual, like, English breakfast, really, you know. Bread, I remember the bread, great big lumps, as hard as can be. I don't know why it was always hard, but great big lumps of bread. And that was it. Right. You'd then go back, you'd wash and brush up, you know, do your usual thing, you know, possibly go to the toilets and all like that. And then Corporal Stone would call out right outside on parade, you know, and then you'd got your muster parade outside, you know, and then you'd peel off, answer up. Open all the march. He'd come round and he said, he used to say invariably, "Crush, you look scruffy this morning, you know. You haven't shaved." And then you say, well, we answer up like, "You have shaved." He said, "We'll make a better job of it, you know," or something like, really sort of jolly, but really strict, if you know what I mean. And then you go back and say, right, we're weapon training this morning. So you had to report to, usually an empty in the Elizabeth Barracks. You had a lot of it, empty big rooms, you know, like typical barrack rooms, but empty, you know. And you used to go there and start learning. I mentioned the IAs of the Bren. Well, the IAs of the Bren, I didn't know whether you understood that. The IAs of the Bren was, I took Bren guns to pieces blindfolded. I put Bren guns together blindfolded. I had to learn all the body locking pin, the piston group, the catch side catch, the flame eliminator on the end of the barrel, the magazine, and then you run through, you lie behind it after putting it all back together again. Being aware, all these parts are all mixed up in the ground sheet. They're all mixed up, and you've got to sort of not all laid out, and it's all you've got to sort out like a pin, you know, or like a puzzle. And then you get that done, and then you go through, got gun, mag off, mag on, gun, fouls to fire, and then you start doing all the business, like, you know, you get one round out and you mess about inside, you know, make a noise. Gun fired, one or two more rounds, cock gun, mag off, change the magazine, and all like that. Right away through it, anyway, that's the...
You mentioned
that last time.
So Bren gun, and lots more of the other stuff we've talked about.
Yeah,
Of all the weapons, was it the Bren gun you were concentrating on?
Yeah, I love it, yeah. I liked the Bren gun. 303, all right for the on parade, you know, the old that slope arms and all that. But Bren gun, then of course the Sten gun, and then the PIAT, projectile infantry anti tank.
Yeah, we did that one as well.
Well, it's the one with the big spring. We just run through it. We trained on that, and then. They used to go to Middlewick Ranges and fire off about, I think we was allowed about two bombs. One to sort of more or less get used to it, and another bomb just to say that you...
You did mention that.
So if
you weren't doing weapons training, what might you be doing then on this typical day at...
I'm reminiscing on, going through.
We did a lot of that.
Come back. Then it was invariably we used to sometimes have sort of lectures. You know what I mean? What we're going to do in Germany? Well, it was in Germany, but what we were going to do was next sort of couple of days' time. We're going on a 3-day scheme, like. And then we used to go to various places.
And what about your MT? I mean, we've not mentioned, wasn't there a daily routine of MT duties you have to do?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about then.
Oh, yeah, well, go to the MT lines.
So what would happen there?
You'd line up and they'd sort of detail you off, like, you know, 1500 weight, so-and-so, right? You do... invariably spend a hell of a lot of time cleaning, make sure you're petrolled up at the petrol station, check your tyres, like sort of the general sort of cracker looking after your vehicle, and that's basically about all, you know.
What about routine MT duties? So you've got cleaning and maintenance. What about crime?
Yeah, well then we came on to, I also, coming into that now, I also got picked out, and I drove a, not a minibus as such, but a bus, small bus, and I used to go round and pick all the married pads, you know, the married families' children up, and take them to school. Come back to Elizabeth Barracks, sweep or clean the vehicle out, because it's always clean. Go into the naffy, have a cup of tea and a wad, as they call it, you know, cake or sandwich. And then by that time, I used to have to report round the lines to various office there, and I had to take an officer to downtown to the railway station in Minden, or I would have to go. I went down to about 2 or 3 hours run to Munster, to pick up various office equipment. One time I went down there, off the top of my head, I don't remember, we picked up a 1500 weight load of typewriters, believe it or not, and that's Munster. And then come back, then we used to get another carder. It's a job like carder. You used to have to take all the ammunition, 303, spare Bren guns and that, in Germany lot, to the rifle ranges, where the other squaddies used to follow on behind, be it march there or arrive in TCVs, troop carrying vehicle. They was a bit bigger, you know. And then go back to the barracks by that time, and we used to finish, well, mainly say about 4:30 time fallout, and the rest of the time was more or less your own.
What would you do with your time in Germany?
In Germany, well, it was so easy to stay in barracks, because it was such a much aggro to get dressed up. You had to go out with your best BD, your balled up boots and shoes, or, you know, if you had boots and gaiters. It was a bit of a wind up to get past the Provo sergeant and all these people to get.
People just didn't bother.
No, well, quite a majority of them used to stay in. Like, there used to be the ones that are meeting the Fräuleins or Frauls down the road. You know, there was one place there. You know, like, nothing nasty, but it was the Lindenhof. I always remember the bar called the Lindenhof. You know. That was a local sort of, where the local squaddies used to meet.
And what was it like?
What, the Lindenhof? Go in there. Yeah, you go in there. You could get a beer. And you could get a meal. You could always buy, a bit upmarket from the naffy, really, you know. Whatever you wanted, you know. Nearly always sausage and sauerkraut, but it's, you know.
And how did you, I mean, did you drink much? How
no.
Did some of them drink?
A few of them used to, as far as I know, obviously, you know. But you never had that sort of type of money, if you know what I mean, you know.
What would you drink? Just a pint or two, or not even that?
About a pint, I mean, yeah, just about a pint, and, yeah.
And how did you get on with the Germans?
When we was in Minden the first time, we used to go down here, and we was warned by our own NCOs that if you walk down the street, we, at that time of day, we would step off the pavement and let the locals, be it the young people, because they were still hot-headed. Still, at that time, they were still hot-headed, you know.
So there could be a fight.
Yeah, there could be a fight. Or the old Italy youth still had that feeling. So we was warned. We was basically warned. At least we was, like, you know, our battalion.
So you were to avoid trouble?
To avoid trouble. If you walk down the street and you see three or four of them blokes coming along, we act as a squaddie. Step off and let them go by, and that actually did happen, you know.
And did it work?
Well, yeah. I don't think there was.
Fights?
No.